Hey, How Not to Sailors, Bradford here. And this is where we usually thank our awesome Patreon patrons and Latitudes and Attitudes magazine. Unfortunately, I have to report today that Latitudes and Attitudes founder Bob Bitchin and his lovely wife Jody lost basically everything in the Bear Fire out in California. So if you are considering becoming a Patreon patron of How Not to Sail, I greatly appreciate it. But maybe just hold off on that a minute and instead consider helping Bob and Jody get back on their feet by donating to the GoFundMe campaign to help Bob and Jody rebuild the Bitchin' Ranch. I've already created a convenient link to donate. It's hownottosail.com/helpbob. Of course, I could have called it hownottosail.com/helpbobandjody, but that would be kind of long. So hownottosail.com/helpbob will take you directly to the GoFundMe page to help out Bob and Jody. Or you can just go to hownottosail.com and you'll see the before and after pictures of the Bitchin' Ranch along with the link. I sure appreciate you.
So this will be surf noise night, Marco Island from the boat. One second, hopefully.
I'm not too picky about anchoring. This is pretty clear from my track record. If I don't have a marina slip reserve somewhere and it's not too breezy, I don't even bother to get out of the ocean. I just get to a general stopping place and throw out the hook. And that's exactly what I did after my 15-hour motor sail up from Marathon. Just a long stone's throw off the beach in front of the condos and hotels at Marco Island. I probably should know somewhere better to anchor, but I was tired and I didn't want to go into Marco Inlet at night, so I just tried to get in close enough for the curve of the land to block some of the northerly swells. At least I didn't run aground this time, as far as you know.
This hat smells a lot like straw. I think it may need to go outside.
2:46 a.m. off Marco Island.
Bedtime. Rocking and rolling.
I was more than ready to hit the rack, but I wasn't sure I'd be able to sleep well with all this motion. So I stumbled back up on deck and tried to do something. I ran a dock line from the anchor chain back to a cleat on the port side. I hoped it might hold us at the correct angle to prevent the vessel from flopping from side to side all night. It did not. In the morning, I call Moss Marina in Fort Myers Beach to book a slip for the night. It'll be a shorter run than yesterday, but after 2 days and 124 miles, I'm going to want some electricity and probably a restaurant or a bar nearby. I've stayed at Moss Marina every time I've stopped at Fort Myers Beach. The first time I was towed there from 20 miles offshore. I was motoring back from Key West when part of my water pump pulley sheared off and embedded itself in the engine compartment wall like some kind of ninja throwing star, right next to the quarter berth where I usually sleep. I guess it would have been more dramatic if I'd actually been in the quarter berth. But as it was, I had no propulsion and no wind on a very hot day in late May in the Gulf of Mexico off Southwest Florida. So despite being a sailboat and all, I called Towboat U.S.
Towboat U.S., JC Sails.
The tow took over 4 hours after the towboat made it out to me, and the bill would have been over $2,000. But because I'd already had my share of mishaps, I carry West Marine Gold Unlimited towing insurance. So I tipped the towboat captain the $40 cash I had on me and borrowed a bike from Moss Marina to go to Hooters. Moss Marina isn't fancy. A couple of those big metal dry storage buildings and a smaller one-story office, convenience store, laundry, and showers, and docks. The people seem pretty cool, though, so I haven't really bothered exploring anywhere else to stop. They have a slip available this evening, so today's main agenda item is taken care of. I'm looking forward to some food and some beers after today's run, which, if I were paying attention, promises to be pretty brisk. I decide to record the clanging of the halyard on the mast, but you can guess what happens. Just like dolphins and cameras, the minute I point my recording gear at the mast, the clanging stops. But I've got my fancy gear out, and I'm on a roll, and I'm going to need all the sounds I can get for the podcast. So I decide to record some galley sounds while I make my coffee, and almost make a costly mistake.
Oh, I singed the hairs on the blimp getting that boiling water there. At least I didn't catch it on fire.
I'm about to wrap up all the sound effects gathering, but not before I'm reminded of an important tip.
These 12-volt jacks suck.
When we brought the boat down from Georgia and made some upgrades for the salt water, I decided it would be handy to have some of those 12-volt cigarette lighter-type charging sockets installed. Somebody told me they were kind of fiddly, but I insisted on putting them in. I had a couple of them installed next to the nav desk, one of which works, and one in the cockpit. And let me just tell you, they suck.
I hate these damn things.
The little plugs won't stay in them for shit, especially when the engine's running. Maybe these days you can get a 12-volt USB socket or something, but of course those are all changing. So I don't know what to recommend other than the car charger sockets just suck. Don't bother.
Finally. Jeez Louise. Gonna leave that alone for a minute.
Just a few more sound effects from the cabin and the cockpit as I prepare to get underway.
Sounds like a video game. Just turning off the radar so I don't fry my brain or anything when I don't need to.
The radar's mounted on the backstay just a few feet above my head. I've been told that the high-powered radio beams only go out mostly horizontally, but why take a chance? It runs down my power a lot anyway. So one of the first things I do when I remember is turn it off.
I'm going to hoist the main while we're still on the anchor. Then once we fall off, I'm going to hoist the jib.
At 10:50, I do my human windlass act and get underway under sail. I'm always proud when that works out.
There we go. Heeling over nicely. Making 5.8 knots.
I'm pretty sure most of the world's problems can be traced back to one simple fact. Nobody waves anymore. And that's one of the great things about boating. Sure, not everybody waves, but there's a lot more waving out on the water, especially among sailboats. Okay, that sailboat didn't wave.
You don't say.
I wonder if I was doing anything stupid. Today is most definitely a good sailing day. But after a while, I crank up the Iron Jenny anyway to charge the batteries and keep us close to hull speed in this head sea. By noon, we're sailing on our ear when I get a message from a client about their website. There's a picture on Instagram of me with the laptop on the cockpit table as we fly by Naples. I'm getting some spray, so I take the laptop below while I call tech support. Problem solved, but after working on the laptop below for almost an hour, yes, with regular trips topside to look around, I'm feeling a little queasy. Some chips and yogurt and fresh air help out, but by the time we come screaming up into San Carlos Bay, I'm about ready for the slip. So I give the marina a call.
Hi. I spoke to Selena earlier about a slip for this evening.
Somehow they don't seem to have me on their books.
Yeah, it's under Rogers. Yes, sir. No, Moss. No, I'm Rogers. I spoke to Selena earlier.
I'm persistent.
It was definitely Moss Marina that was this number.
But I'm starting to get frustrated.
Moss Marina, this is the number I called earlier.
Finally, we come to an understanding.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
Somehow, I've called Sanibel Marina, 4 miles across San Carlos Bay from Moss Marina. This is one of those times that persistence has turned into foolishness.
Oops.
So I guess it's time to call the correct marina.
Hey, Selena, Bradford Rogers. I'm just coming in San Carlos Bay. And I was
okay,
gonna
so now the correct marina knows I'll be there soon. But speaking of stupid mistakes, I don't want to make one here and forget to plug our sponsor, Latitudes and Attitudes. But today, I'll just remind you that Bob and Jody's home burned down in the Bear Fire. But you can help out by going to hownottosail.com/helpbob. I thank you, and I know Bob and Jody do too. Okay, so where were we? Right, I was frustrated at the wrong marina for not remembering the call earlier today that I didn't make. This is what happens when persistence is applied to the wrong premise. It happens all the time in cruising. You make assumptions. I'm sure some teacher in your life at some point has pointed out that the first three letters of the word assume spell ass. And if you're afraid of looking like an ass, then cruising may not be for you. Because you're gonna look like an ass. Especially if you cling to a faulty assumption or just stubbornly keep trying to do something that's not working. Heck, I'm gonna do that again before this day is out. And it unfolds in this way. As I get closer to the marina and talk to Selena again.
Okay, and if I'm back in, will the finger here be on my starboard or port? Okay, gotcha. On my port, and I guess the wind will be blowing me onto the pier. Okay, cool. So C-37, and I'll give you all a shout when I'm closer.
I'm thinking of that beautiful electricity that I want to hook up to. And since the place I plug in shore power is in the cockpit, I'm thinking I might be better off backing in. I like backing into a slip, just like I like backing my SUV into the garage at home. When it's time to go, I'm ready to roll. But as I may or may not have mentioned, sailboats don't like to go backwards. That 3-foot rudder sticking down into the water is usually behind the propeller when you're motoring forward. The water blows past the rudder, and whichever way the rudder turns, the boat obeys nicely. Not so when you're in reverse. Because of the Crowhurst law, or some kind of physics or something, when you put her in reverse, your sailboat acts like a pig you're trying to castrate. The ass end jumps to the left no matter what, and you have to be pretty skilled to control the damn thing. And that's assuming you don't have any wind or current to deal with. Which I will today. I know, or should remember, that there's a pretty decent current running by Moss Marina. Moss Marina is just before the Matanzas Bridge, which connects Fort Myers on the mainland to the town of Fort Myers Beach on the barrier island of Estero. Moss Marina is on the inside of Estero, and the tides in Matanzas Pass can make for a significant current. You can tell by the cruising boats at anchor out in the pass as they point first one way, then the other, every few hours. I've been here before, but did I mention I'm persistent sometimes? Today is one of those times. I've been out in the Gulf for a whole 36 hours. I'm ready for some electricity and some service. And damn it, I'm going to back into slip C-37. Never mind that the tide and the significant wind are both working against me. The skipper on the catamaran in the next slip looks nervous. I don't know what the big deal is. I mean, her yacht's only $300,000 worth or so. And the other boats around won't even cost that much if I plow into them.
Not sure exactly what my approach is yet, but we'll find out.
I make a number of passes trying to get in. Current's doing weird things, things that don't comport with what I've been expecting from the wind. It keeps making me want to drift into that catamaran every time I try and stick the ass end of my boat into that slip. The dockmaster tries to be helpful.
Captain, you want to come in, Bob, sir? I do not.
Okay.
We'll get there.
All right, mate.
Amateur. watchers, I think, as I go around yet again. They haven't been where I've been, they don't know my boat, and they don't know how skilled I am at this.
God damn it.
What's that saying about 100 monkeys with typewriters eventually coming up with a screenplay? I may be only 20 monkeys, but eventually I realize I've crossed that line from persistence to stubbornness. Just an aside here, never be so invested in which side you've set out dock lines and fenders on that you don't want to change your approach. I'm very invested in which side I've set dock lines and fenders on, and I don't want to change my approach. But eventually I do.
All right, I'll switch the lines.
I decide to go in bow first. I still know my vessel, though, and one thing I know is that dockhands want to try to pull and push my 9-ton vessel by the vertical metal stanchions sticking up out of the deck and the lifelines that run through them. Don't let people do this. They don't know any better, but those stanchions are never well supported, and when people grab them, they start to loosen where they're attached to the deck and provide a great place for water to get in and start rotting your hull.
Not the stanchions, the tow rope.
I'm not saying the dockhands aren't doing better than me today, though. For some reason, some skippers don't get it. They double down on being rude and stupid by being ruder and wronger. Since I've been a yutz this afternoon, I make sure to tip the fellas a 20 and be very polite to the lady on the catamaran. And after 124 miles in the Gulf, I've got power again, and I head for the second floor deck of a place called Ugly's, where I can look at my beautiful boat and marvel that, once again, I haven't wrecked her. Join me next time as I sail back towards Cabbage Key, from whence I hope to release the very first episode of How Not to Sail, and maybe get that interview I missed on the way down. What could possibly go wrong? And don't forget, you can help Bob and Jody rebuild the bitchin' ranch by going to hownottosail.com/helpbob. It'll take you right to the GoFundMe campaign. In fact, hownottosail.com is your hub for all things How Not to Sail. The podcast, the book, the YouTube channel, and some writing from me and our fine contributors. For example, you can find the show notes for this episode at hownottosail.com/16. And if you didn't see the latest video interview with Captain Boomies, you'll see it right there on the homepage. Which reminds me, I very much want to thank our awesome Patreon patrons and welcome our latest patrons, Bill Ramsey, Sophie J., author extraordinaire Wayne Stinnett, and Captain Pete of RomanticSailingAdventures.com. You can find more information on becoming a Patreon patron at hownottosail.com/Patreon. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank you for listening. Without you, there would be no How Not to Sail podcast. Thanks for all the kind reviews on Apple Podcasts, including the very latest 5-star review from Captain Stockdale. Thanks to Melanie and Carnes for the kind 5-star reviews on Amazon for the book How Not to Sail. Thanks to Al Santini for mentioning me in his third book, Captain Pete and the Dry Tortugas. And a big shout out to Didier, who emailed me from the beautiful region of Cantabria, Spain on the Bay of Biscay to say he's been listening to the podcast and spreading the word. To find the easiest way to get the podcast on your mobile device, just go to hownottosail.com and look for the big red button right there on the homepage. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it's 100% gluten-free. Meanwhile, keep the nuns on the right if you're returning, and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
I do not.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Okay.